An alumnus and Board of Trustee member is headed back to space. More room for archives, and the West Patio is ready to go. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. Well, Tennessee Tech alumnus and Board of Trustee member Barry Wilmore is returning to space. The NASA astronaut will command NASA's Boeing crew flight test, the inaugural crewed flight of the CST-100 Starliner, launching to the International Space Station in 2021. A native of Mount Juliet, Wilmore earned bachelor's and master's degrees in electrical engineering from Tech and has served on the Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees since 2017. His commitment to the university was recently recognized by Governor Bill Lee, who reappointed Wilmore to the board through 2026. We caught up with the captain after the NASA announcement to get his thoughts on returning to space. Well, congratulations, man. I know it's exciting. You got some exciting news. And just how did all that come about?
Yeah, I was assigned as the backup in July of 2018. So I've been training as the backup for over 2 years. Mm-hmm. But it's still not a given. There's so many variables that go into flight assignments. And even though I was training, again, there were other people that had been in the commercial crew program, which is what this is a part of, longer than me. So, like I said, being actually getting assigned it was never a given. But when it came down to Chris Ferguson, who was the commander of that first one, now he is a former NASA astronaut, flew twice or three times in space, commanded the space shuttle twice, including the very final shuttle mission. And shortly after that in 2011, he left and went to Boeing. And has been working this program ever since, and was actually the commander, you know, slated to be the first civilian commander of a launch vehicle ever in the U.S. history.
Oh, wow.
Again, a civilian, of course. I mean, he was a civilian, yes, but obviously came from NASA. But anyway, so he had a great experience and was brought a lot to the table, if you will, and tracking along and just, you know, these programs that, flying in space is hard. I think we've talked about that before. It's just hard.
Sure.
And there's been some delays that have gone into years now. And there's just some issues in his family, things going on in his family. His daughter's getting married, one of them, and next year and other things. And he just decided it was time to step aside.
Okay.
Since we've had, you know, a couple of delays. And so me being the backup, again, trained, ready to go.
Yeah.
It did eventually, it came down to me. So that's how it kind of flowed out.
So what's the timeline for your return to space?
Right now, we are scheduled to launch no earlier than the 25th of June next year.
Okay.
Now, there's an uncrewed test launch scheduled for late December, January timeframe, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. OFT to Orbital Flight Test 2. And assuming that goes off on time and goes, you know, relatively well, then we should be on track for a June launch. But again, things have slipped and they could slip again. So it could be later than that.
Sure. Now, you spent 178 days in space over the course of two missions. How excited are you to get back to space? And what do you think, it's going to be different this time, or is it going to be pretty much the same as your previous trips?
Well, you know, it is. You said the mission. It's all about the mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first time I flew was the space shuttle, taking a lot of cargo to the space station. I flew as the shuttle pilot. And this next time I launched on a Russian Soyuz, I was commander of the space station. Very different missions. The one was left just under 2 weeks. The other one was 6 months. This one, unknown how long it'll be right now. We're training for a long duration, 6 month mission, but it could be shorter. But the thing that makes this one unique is this is a test flight. This is experimental flight test. And the first flight of this vehicle, and, you know, there's only, you know, spacecraft. I'll get my terminology right here. First flight of the spacecraft. And, you know, those don't come around very often.
Sure.
First flight of spacecraft. So they have the opportunity to step in and be the commander of this first flight of this spacecraft. I mean, you know, the Lord in his providence, I'm grateful that, you know, it flowed down to me. I mean, this is just a great opportunity. So that's the thing that sets this one apart from others. The others I was a part of, an important part of, but to command a launch vehicle is really why I came to NASA from the Navy.
Yeah.
To have that opportunity to command a launch vehicle, and now command a launch vehicle that is its first flight, its maiden flight. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's just amazing.
And you were so busy right now. I mean, you're training for the mission. You're also on the Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees. You were just in Cookeville last week. How are you juggling everything, and how do you keep everything, you know, in check?
Well, you know, I'm a part of Amazon Outreach. I'm on their board, too, and this is a missions group that has a couple of boats on the Amazon River, and we go there. This past year, we had 30 trips scheduled to go and share the gospel on the Amazon to these villages. Some of them have never heard the name Jesus.
Wow.
So I'm on that board. That's why I was telling you earlier, I'm driving to Dallas. That meeting's today.
Yeah.
So I've been driving since 3:30 in the morning to get here. So anyway, I have contemplated your very question.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, how do you balance all of this and do all this? It is teamwork. And I am married to a wonderful lady that supports all of this, mm-hmm. and the balance. She keeps me balanced. She tells me when I'm stretching too thin, and I trust her judgment. And honestly, that's what it is. Being able to do these things and the balance and all that, and make sure you get your rest and all those type of things. She's a huge cog in this whole thing, probably the primary one. So my wife Deanna.
Wow.
I'm grateful for her.
Yeah, that's that's great. You know, training for space, a lot of people hear that term, and you know, I'm sure they come up with different things that they think of, but how difficult is it to train to go to space?
Well, difficult is a kind of a misnomer. It is tough. I mean, there's things that, you know, there's a lot of things you have to remember. I am constantly purging items out of my brain. Because it's full. There's no more room
to
fit more stuff in there. So to fit new stuff in, I have to purge a little bit. But the great thing about training for spaceflight is the variety.
Mm-hmm.
It's every day is different. You're in the simulator training for ascent one day. You're in the neutral buoyancy lab, the big pool where we do our spacewalk training another day. I have to fly to Kennedy Space Center on another day, so I jump in the T-38. And I fly myself from Houston, which is where all the astronauts live and train, down to Kennedy Space Center, which is where the launch complex is in Florida. So from Texas to Florida, and do various things there. And then the next day you fly back. And anyway, that's it. It's just the variety that makes it difficult. It is tough at times, but it is very enjoyable. Just like I said, primarily because it's just every day is different.
Yeah. I know you're former football player, captain of the football team. Did you see the news that there's going to be football in the spring? The OVC actually released a schedule, and Tennessee Tech will be playing football in the spring.
I don't know if you knew this. I made a couple of statements at the board meeting last week that I was kind of distraught in some of the decisions that have been made. So that's good to hear. Get our guys out there and go for it on the gridiron.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, first home game is Sunday, February 27th. They'll play Austin Peay, and they'll play every Sunday throughout the spring with the exception of Easter weekend. They've got a Saturday game, and then the playoffs start, I think, end of April, and we'll wrap up middle of May.
Wow, is this not unique times? I mean, goodness.
Yeah.
conference football in the spring, wow.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to talk to us. And, again, congratulations. I know this has to be very exciting. And does this kind of change your plans a little bit about, you know, what maybe 2021 looks like for you?
Well, yeah, obviously it will somewhat. As a backup, I was not required to be necessarily certain places at certain times. Some of the meetings and various things that take place, there was nothing that was – as a backup, I didn't have to be there. But now, as a commander, I not only – will be there, but I need to be there for some of these things because there's some, you know, fairly important decisions, things that are made. So I'm excited about that. So yeah, my whole year is different, but that's exciting. That's good.
Well, congratulations again, and thanks so much for all you do in representing Tennessee Tech, and of course, wings up.
Wings up. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. The archives just received a big boost in the way of more space. And Megan Atkinson, the archivist here at Tennessee Tech, joins us now. And if you've heard some rumblings going on down in the basement of the Volpe Library, there's been a lot of stuff going on down in your area. What all's been going on down there? Have you been digging around and looking for, anything that you can put in archives, or what's happening?
Oh, so they did a lot of digging around in the basement here in the library. Around the end of last year, we had been working on a project for quite a while. And for those that have not heard of it, we always called it the dirt room.
Yeah.
there was a room that was literally what I said. It was a pile of dirt. And it was built just in case, they built the library to include this space, but they never know. They were like, we might need it in the future. We may need this space for something. And it turns out they definitely did. We definitely needed new archival storage in the basement. So we finally dug that out, and we got it all fitted to what I would call a top-of-the-line archive facility. There's no more dirt, which would not be good for archives.
Right.
And so the facility can currently hold it can hold about 5,000 linear feet of paper, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
That's like paper on its end, and you just see it in about 5,000 feet, and then it's expandable. We made it so that we can continue to grow. It's temperature and humidity controlled. We've completely removed it from the library's HVAC, because archives do not get stored at a temperature that humans want to actually work in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also has different security features and disaster features and things like that are going to make certain that these records and these historical materials from the Upper Cumberland and the university are preserved for as long as we possibly can.
Wow, that's great. And so I know this has been something that's been a process and in the works for a while, but now to finally have that, how does that change your approach to what you can collect and what you can store?
So we have a vast, huge space now. So before you'd be a little bit hesitant, because if you take something in, it didn't necessarily mean we had the space to store it. And obviously, if you're going to ensure people that their records are being stored properly, you also want to ensure them their space for their records.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it's temperature and humidity controlled makes certain that it's going to last longer. It's going to be protected better. It helps us with different types of materials. A lot of times prior, when we were associated with the library's HVAC, you have your different, ups and downs. So everything is so much more protected now and in such a better place. Not that it was horrendous before, but now it's perfect. That would be the difference. And we also we've expanded for the records, but I would like to, we'll probably expand a little bit for the future. We do have in the future, because we do have quite a few objects and things like that down here. So it'd be nice to be able to get some museum cases, and those all, we have the ability to do that with what we have here now too.
Oh, that's great. Now, mm-hmm. I know we talked a couple of months ago or a few months ago, and you had some projects that you were working on regarding the tornado that came in March, and then, of course, COVID hit about the same time. And so I know those projects have been keeping you very busy. What's the update on both of those projects?
So we initially started the COVID project, which was basically, it was an online form, and people could contact us and share their experiences. They could share documents. They could share anything. Maybe during your time of social distancing, you spent your time writing poems or music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way for people to be able to share some of the things they did. And I said, if I were to share my own pictures, it's mostly like me hanging out with cats. So if you don't even have to be... You don't have to be a creative person. It's just something to give people in the future an idea of what were people doing when they're just sitting in their house for a couple weeks quarantining.
Right.
And the project has been combined a little bit with, you know, anyone from, you know, who experienced the March 3rd tornado, if they're interested in sharing. And we've kind of opened it up to just kind of a 2020 thing. The whole year is unique. It's very unique for students who are on campus right now. We would love for people to share their experience with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right on our website. If you go to the library, it's the first thing that pops up. There's an English version. There's a Spanish version. It's open to professors, students, the community, anybody who would be interested in participating and sharing what they, you know, what their experience is like. And then we also did the tornado. We worked with some of the lost materials from the tornado, mostly, namely photographs, but we have a number of other things.
Sure.
That we also received, some documents, letters, things like that. And that is actually still going. Remarkably, I received in the mail about a week and a half ago about 100 more photographs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's frightening to think they're still being found. And I think our furthest at this point was 130 miles, but a number of people I've talked to said that their photographs were found, you know, even farther than that.
Hmm.
I think the big thing that needs to be done with that particular project is we're definitely connected to this community.
Yeah.
And we are able to speak with the members of this community, but we do need to reach out a little bit to some of the areas to the west to make sure that they know that we have the photograph collection too, since if we have photographs that have gone 130 miles east, it's very likely we have photographs from Nashville sitting in the collection.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and then the last thing with the tornado and the photographs and stuff, this weekend at the fairgrounds, and I think it's the Woman's Building, they're going to be opening that up on the 10th and the 11th to have people come and claim their materials. There were still some materials that were left at the community center and the fairgrounds after everything closed, and they're opening that back up. I think it's from 9 to 3 on both days, and we will actually be bringing the photographs there. And so for anyone who doesn't have internet access or was frustrated by trying to use the online access to the photographs, they can come and we can look for them with the people on this weekend.
Okay, great.
And exactly.
Yeah. So say I have a Tennessee Tech artifact. I've found something in my closet, or I have come across something and I want to donate it to the university. I want to give it to you, the archivist there at Tennessee Tech. What would I need to do?
Okay, so if you do have something that is Tennessee Tech related, I'll always have to caution that some of the things that we do have too much of are some of your yearbooks and things like that.
Right.
So a lot of the materials that we're seeking out that have to do with the university typically have to do with a kind of the student experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you were part of a club, maybe you're part of a sorority, you know, maybe you have some syllabuses or course type stuff that you had when you were here. Those are those unique type materials that we are looking for. And if you are interested, there's a place on our website, and obviously you can call us or you can email us at archives@tntech.edu. But we also have a website form that you can contact us for those types of things too. And after that, you know, I always tell people, you know, you can come here. I always invite people to come here because you can check out what we have and you can see our facility and you can see where your memories will be stored and how they'll be treated. But I also will go to people's homes. I'll meet them places. I can pick up stuff if they don't feel like dealing with the parking or things like that. And usually, you know, there's usually just some simple forms to fill out and I can just ensure people that they'll know that their materials are going somewhere safe and that they'll also be available for researchers and anyone interested in the future.
All right. Well, that sounds great. And I know it's an exciting time for you and the archives at Tennessee Tech with the the new room that you're able to use and include in storage. And, you know, if people don't realize what you do and the way you go about doing it, you are very professional and you do a great job. And we are very fortunate to have a great archive system at Tennessee Tech. And obviously you are a big part of that. So thank you very much for everything that you do.
Excellent. I do also want to, if you don't mind me mentioning, we do also have a couple online exhibits right now.
Yeah.
And we've provided those because of social distancing, and we thought, so we implemented that, and we have a Big Name Entertainment exhibit currently on our website, and we also have been working with the Leona Lusk Black Cultural Center, and we have a 30th anniversary exhibit that came out, I think it came out last month, and we will be having two more exhibits coming out for that too. So that should be fantastic, and people can browse and they can do it from the safety of their own home.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Megan Eckson, the archivist at Tennessee Tech, thank you so much for being with us. Anything else you want to add?
That should be good. Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thanks so much. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the new West Patio. Stay with us.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Well, students, faculty, and staff can now enjoy the West Patio, also known as the Backyard, behind the Roden University Center. The project is now complete, and to talk to us about this new addition to campus is Christine Daniels, Project Design Manager at Tennessee Tech. Christine, a beautiful West Patio. I understand they're going to be recalling it the Backyard, but man, it just looks so great. Just tell us a little bit about how you were involved with that and how you became involved with that.
Oh, well, I was asked to participate in the project and to just coordinate things from a design standpoint. When they decided that they were going to expand and develop the landscaping in that area, my understanding is that the administration had a vision for that initially, and you know, they really wanted a place for the students to relax and hang out, and yeah. I think there were requests for the fire pit area, and then really to just focus on the green space and less parking.
Yeah, the fire pit is awesome, and really it just the way it flows into the UC. So when, you know, they ask you to be a part of that, kind of what do you go through then? What are the steps that you go through before it becomes, you know, what it is today?
Well, it was a typical project for us. It went through the State Building Commission. And so what we do with that is we go through a designer selection where designers apply and we evaluate their proposals, make a selection. It gets approved by the SBC, and then we start meetings with them. So my role is to really coordinate all of that, communicate with different interests on campus, you know, make sure facilities is in the loop, that we're communicating with various stakeholders, that the vision is being carried out in the design.
Yeah.
So, and then we just take it to bid. Once the drawings are developed, you know, we get it through and
right.
and put it out to bid. So.
So did it turn out the way you wanted it to?
Oh, yes. Yeah, this was a very straightforward project. I mean, we knew from the beginning pretty much what we wanted it to look like. We wanted to kind of harken back to the Centennial Plaza,
mm-hmm.
the look and feel over there, and just help pull that around to the other side of the UC, you know, and really make a gathering space. And I think the other play was you have the porch on the UC addition.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a two-story porch there, and it has that, like you say, backyard southern feel.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted that to play out like a yard where you could hang out and socialize and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's It's awesome. I'm sure the students are going to love it. The faculty and staff love it. Walk by there, and it's just it just enhances that area so much. Now, how long have you been at Tennessee Tech?
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that. I have been here almost 9 years.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
I started out as a project manager. So it was an opportunity to manage design projects and construction projects from conception to completion for me. I have an architectural background, and I've been here ever since.
Oh, wow. So what are some of the other projects that you've worked on?
Goodness. Well, most recently, we're working on the new engineering building. So we're in design development phase with that, meeting with faculty to develop their labs and the other details in the building. I worked on the Lab Science Commons project, the fitness center, through design. And so that's my role now is just through design on the projects.
Gotcha. Do you have a favorite project, one that you're just really proud of, or one that might have been, you know, just so difficult from start to finish, but you were just, when it was over with, you were just so glad to see the fruits of your labor?
So I have to pick a favorite child?
Yeah.
I can't do that. I can't pick a favorite. I think the thing that's so great about being at Tech is that I don't have to leave my projects.
Yeah.
So I'm here, and I can look around campus and I can point, oh, yeah, I did that and I did that and yeah, I worked on that and remember working with so-and-so on that. And, you know, it's not like in the real architectural world, you know, you've got clients all over the place.
Right.
And once you're gone, you're gone. And so here I get to see it grow. And we have projects that play, well, they all play into one another. Mm-hmm. They all have to interrelate. But just seeing that as a culmination of just another step, you know, so we got that done. Okay. Now we're moving on this. Okay. We got to fix this problem. And you get in there and, you know, try to relate it to the other projects that we've already done. And just the idea of making the campus more cohesive.
Well, Christine Daniels, who is a project design manager at Tennessee Tech, I know you work on pretty much everything, and you do really good work. I will tell you that, because everything that you've talked about has just been great. The new fitness center is just unbelievable, and, of course, the patio and the renovation to the university center, everything is just turns out great. So you do good work. If nobody else tells you that, you know, now everybody knows to thank
Christine. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the TT website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.